This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Christmas Eve morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here at the Mid Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. What is the proper verbiage for that, Jensen? Is it Christmas Eve day? Is that what we're doing today to start off the network programming today?
Depending on where you are, Australia already way ahead of us, right? Or way behind. They already know what Santa brought them. I can't remember if it's already tomorrow there or not. It is Merry Christmas Eve. I told you yesterday, I was really hoping that Santa was not going to bring me a lump of coal before the big day. And boy, did he deliver with an early present under the tree. Finally happened. The whole Shawshank Redemption gift of yes, the play, the three unit play finally gets home. So congrats to everyone who tailed. That is my Christmas is made already. Everything else is just bonus points from here on out.
They were going to be, you were definitely putting them in the shanty. You were not going to be betting the Cavs had they not come through for you last night. So we're very happy to hear that. I will say when I walked in today here at the Mint Gaming Hall, a very sweet lady that they have to let me in every day here, the guards. And she gave me a big Christmas Day hug. And I said, it's Christmas Eve. She said, well, you get another one tomorrow. So it's been a beautiful day so far. 60 degrees here. A beautiful start to the day here on the Tennessee and Kentucky border. We got a lot to get to here on this Christmas Eve edition of VSiN by the Books. We are going to do a hold or fire special edition for the college football playoff quarterfinals edition. Do you want to wager on those today or wait till next week? So we'll get to those numbers and see if they're going to change. Zachary Cohen is going to join us here for his Christmas preview edition. And that should be good as we always think of the NBA really starting this time of year for bettors. And week 17, we're going to have our ATS leans here and also our survivor plays too. So we're going to bunch those up because the deadlines for most of those entries will be tonight. So we're going to give you two for the price of one today. But Jensen, let's kick it off with some injury news here in the NFL. Not necessarily great news. That's where we start our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It gets tricky this time of the year, and I think the Pack are saying, how are we still in the predicament of having to win one more game to make sure we're in the second season? But that's the case here. They've got to win at least one more, and they will secure a wild card spot. Where it gets difficult is that Jordan Love, Malik Willis, Josh Jacobs all start off the week here limited at practice. And I think the first two are the concerning ones. We've got one that's got a shoulder, Malik Willis, another in concussion protocol here with Jordan Love. Josh Jacobs has been banged up, so they've had some help there at the running back position for him. Obviously, you'd like to get him back. But Jensen, it's the quarterbacks. When you have the Ravens coming in, they've got quarterback issues of their own right here and the injury side with Lamar Jackson, but you'd like to have at least one healthy guy. And right now it looks like both these guys are still dinged up.
Part of the handicap as we looked at it, and overnight, the number has moved there specifically for the Ravens and the Packers. Packers going from 2.5 point favorites up to a 3 point favorite at pretty much every book, seeing it at Circa, at DraftKings and many other spots. This will be part of the daily gridiron because I think there are advantageous ways to be able to attack, knowing that Baltimore's season is on the line. They lose, it's over, and the Steelers will be AFC North champions. Conversely, Packers need to win, and that'll be it for the Detroit Lions. So it is remarkable to see where we are, that at this point in the season, you are having to deal with backups. And oh, by the way, speaking of backups, good luck to you, Survivor people, that have to navigate Christmas Day tomorrow with all the backup quarterbacks that are playing in those three contests.
There's a lot of football news that we're going to get to and break down throughout the show today. And maybe the most significant from the Steelers side here, speaking of the Ravens, whether they can still get into this and win their division here. They need the Steelers to lose out. DK Metcalf, the suspension was upheld by the NFL. So his appeal did not happen. So he's not going to be playing for the next 2 weeks. We talked about Lamar. He was a non-participant in practice with that back issue. Josh Allen did and is expected to play on Sunday with a foot situation. George Kittle avoided the high ankle sprain, considered to be a low to mid grade sprain. So we'll get to all those things too. But for the Vikings on Christmas Day against the Lions, and they've had a nice little second half of their year here. And I know all the jokes and the memes about nine out there, but J.J. McCarthy's played pretty well in the last couple weeks. He's not going to play at all now. He's got a hairline fracture in his right hand. So Max Brosmer is going to get the start here for the Vikings. That means JJ is done. I don't know if his season is done. Remember, this is already year two, and he lost the whole rookie year to injury. So, Jensen, it's 2 years in a row now. He's not going to be able to finish as a quarterback in this league, and he's going to, we'll find out if he can go week 18. But I wonder where we are with the Vikings. Now they're 7.5-point dogs against the Lions. I know this game doesn't mean a whole lot to them, but they're trying to evaluate JJ McCarthy. Hard to do when he's been banged up.
I think they're still evaluating for next season, too. I think Kevin O'Connell is really taking stock in everything he has, not only offensively, but listen, this defense has played really, really well. They have played hard, even though they've been out of playoff contention. I hopped on the Should A Bet More podcast with Will Hill yesterday, and this was a game we focused on a little bit. Like, you're looking at a handicap here of who do you trust? Do you trust the Lions, who just were laying upwards of 8 points at home against the Steelers? And then you want to turn right back around on a short week and on the road, I get it, against a backup quarterback, and you want to lay at least 7.5? Buddy, this is potentially part of my millions leans handicap here, too. I'll tell you what, it has been a team in Detroit that you think you know, and then all of a sudden they do what they did this past weekend, or ironically against these Vikings back in Minnesota. We thought they would just blast them. When J.J. McCarthy came back, no, sir, they lose it outright. So that's a tough handicap for anybody that's out there trying to get the better side of the Lions right now.
Oh, they have fooled me. I'm sitting there, very precarious position at over 9.5. They got to win the last two in order to get to 10. So they're making me a little bit nervy here. If they can't beat Max Brosmer this weekend, it certainly might be done, and they would be curtains for sure. It's over for Brooks Koepka at LIV Golf. It's a big story. This is a five-time major champion who's not going to return to LIV for the 2026 season. So that begs the question, of course, well, that means he's got to be coming back to the PGA Tour. Well, yes and no. And that's obviously these tentacles have been out there for Brooksy and company for quite some time. You know me, maybe not for the last 3 years prior, but this is something I've talked about a lot here in the network, in that I really don't care about LIV Golf per se. I want the best golfers in the world to play together in the major championships. I don't care if that's LIV, if that's PGA Tour, whatever it has to be. There's got to be a pathway now for Brooksy to get back to the PGA Tour. Jensen, I think he'll get there. He's very well-liked. That shouldn't matter in the criteria to get back, whether or not you're well-liked by the other guys on tour. But he is for that reason. I know the PGA Tour would love to have him back. But I do think this is significant that you see the first defection from LIV potentially back to the PGA Tour.
He's made over nine figures as far as career earnings. The guy is going to be fine. He's going to be able to put food on the table. But I had the same reaction that you did. I'm like, he's going to come back. Now, this is great theater. Bring him back to the tour. That is going to be great stuff. So I'm going to continue to follow just kind of where this is. Will there be further defections and more so the liquidity there? I know our Long Shots podcast brethren, I'm sure, is all over it, with Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin, and Matt Brown. So love to see what the results will be, and if there's a domino effect as well, Dave, which would be a huge uptick if the tour is able to get some of these big LIV stars back.
And you know what the PGA Tour stands are going to say. Oh, now he's going to be better again. He'll be back to old Brooks. I mean, he did win a major championship as a member of LIV Golf. Let's not forget that either, and that wasn't that long ago. How about Bryce Harper? He's going to commit to play for Team USA in the WBC. I do enjoy this. Obviously, as a Met fan a couple of years ago when Edwin Diaz blew out his Achilles, that was a tough look, and you lost him for the year, so there aren't normally some injuries that are involved in this. But Jensen, how do the teams now start to compartmentalize that? Say, hey, we want you to play for Team USA. We know how much this means to the rest of the world. Yes, injuries can happen in this quote-unquote exhibition, but I'm excited to see that Bryce is going to suit up for Red, White, and Blue.
It's fantastic. It's probably his last time he'll be able to do it at this point in his career, just knowing where he is in that lineage. And I don't know if you've taken a look at the rough draft of what this World Baseball Classic Team USA lineup could potentially look like. It is ridiculous from the hitting side, man. I cannot wait to see what some team totals are. Some props, obviously, that'll have some Daily Diamond implications for us in not only February, but March. So looking forward to it, my man. Team USA very much stacked. Red, White, and Blue is going to be in great shape.
you know, you and I watched it with the hockey, and you know, like we saw with the NHL in, you know, trying to do these exhibitions and which kind of organizations embrace them, which ones are a little bit nervy about the injuries, man, sometimes you got to let these guys play. And I know sometimes the teams that have the rights to these players get nervous in these exhibitions, but it is great for the sport. And I do think it would help baseball if we had our biggest stars from each country represented. Speaking of countries represented, how about FIFA? And this is going to be the 2026 World Cup, and the ticket prices are outrageous. Jensen, we're seeing upwards of 50, 60, 80K for prices out here to go and witness this here stateside. First of all, would you be willing to drop that type of coin to watch some soccer here in the good old US of A? And look, it shows that if there's a market for it, some people are going to pay it.
Listen, you and I watched Team USA against Team Canada and the Four Nations from the greatest sports book there ever was or ever will be, right there at Circus Sports in Las Vegas. I think that's probably where I would be. July 19th, save the date, Dave. MetLife Stadium there in East Rutherford at the Meadowlands. That is your World Cup final. Match time set at 3 p.m. Eastern. That is, I believe, 10 a.m. Hawaiian for those that are going to get up early out there as well. This is just absolutely ridiculous. No way you could ever convince me to pay that much to put my butt in that stadium.
Yeah, I'm seeing upwards of 80. Well, I mean, 50, 80. This is ridiculous, some of the price points that you're seeing here to go to the Meadowlands and watch it at MetLife Stadium. I mean, the Meadowlands are beautiful this time of year. All right, when we come back, let's talk more about the NFL and some of those suspensions, injuries that could affect all the numbers here in week number 17. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. You want to bet smarter with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out the Bowling Game and Bowl Game Betting Hub. We're going to have previews for every bowl game 72 hours in advance, plus best bets, Week 17 Survivor Advice. And later today, you can check out Zachary Cohen's Christmas Day NBA Previews and Week 17 First Touchdown Score Pick. So you can get full VSiN Pro access through May 1st, 2026, right around the corner for just $79 with the holiday special at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here. Let's get into some of these NFL news and notes. And they're actually rather significant here, Jensen, especially with the Steelers. DK Metcalf did make his appeal to the NFL and they said, sorry, you're going to be suspended. That type of conduct against a fan in Detroit is not going to be tolerated. So that it did surprise me a little bit, Jensen, because normally what happens in those cases is that you do see the initial suspension slash fine, the player appeals, and then it's knocked down, right? Whether it's the monetary number or in this case, the suspension. NFL said, no, you're out 2 games. That's it. Hit the gavel. Case closed. So no Steelers, DK Metcalf for them. They are now down to 3-point favorites against the Browns. And remember, this is a Sunday game, and you'll find out Saturday if the game matters. If it does, and if the Ravens go to Green Bay and get a win, how significant that they're not going to have DK Metcalf in that lineup?
Yeah, so by the numbers, stay tuned because upcoming in Daily Gridiron, I have both that Ravens-Packers and Steelers-Browns game pegged for a potential teaser spot, and I'll explain why. Much to that rationale, Dave, is that the Steelers will know what they need to do before they go to bed on Saturday night. What I'm fascinated by is we just saw the ground game absolutely obliterate the Detroit Lions defense? And is that similar script for what they'll try and do against a far better defense overall in the Cleveland Browns on Sunday on the road? Now, moving forward, worst case scenario here, let's say that the Ravens win, the Steelers lose, Lamar Jackson is not in the game on Saturday, but is healthy enough to all of a sudden play in the season finale that would be for the AFC North division title. We just saw that secondary for Baltimore get absolutely crushed by Drake May and company. Would it matter in your mind if there's no DK Metcalf? If you and I could run routes against Baltimore secondary the way it looked at that point. But for all intents and purposes, this is a huge loss for the Steelers offense, just knowing the continuity that he and Aaron Rodgers had had, especially the last couple of games.
Yeah, it felt like they'd really just started to get it cranked up, right? To where you would look at this team and go, wow, they're going to be dangerous potentially in the postseason with what we saw against Detroit. But if you don't have DK now, and you're not going to see him until the postseason, as long as the Steelers, you know, we still expect them potentially to win this division, then you'll see him back in that lineup. And then you wonder, it's going to be 3 weeks at that point. Is there any rest? Do they have to figure out a way to reacclimate him to the offense? All those questions will then appear at that point. But it is interesting to me that maybe it was just Detroit. This is a much better defense they'll face than the Lions, with all due respect to Detroit and their injuries, in Sunday's game against the Browns. So if it means something, it would be interesting if they lose this game and the Ravens win, and then week 18 against the Ravens for the division and no DK Metcalf again. Just kind of file that away if, in fact, things break the wrong way for the boys in Pittsburgh this weekend. We mentioned off the top of the program, big news here for the Packers in that game against the Ravens. Jordan Love, concussion protocol. Malik Willis with that shoulder, limited at practice. Again, for those that are not aware, concussion protocol doesn't mean you can't go to practice. It's just that you're limited in the things that you can do at practice. So that's where we are. He's got to pass all of the things to just be eligible to play, and then the team has to say, yes, we're going to allow him to play. Is there anything you can read between the tea leaves there? I mean, I you would have to believe one of these guys would be able to go, but there is no guarantee of that right now here on a Wednesday.
Yeah, and again, remarkable, too, that in this situation for the Packers, that they'll know kind of what they need to do as well, because the Lions will play tomorrow. So somehow, some way, the Vikings end up winning. Then I think Matt LaFleur does the right thing and obviously rest Jordan Love, even if he could come back and play anyway. So is this Army-Navy? You know, because it really doesn't mean much for the Packers. And they just turn around and hand it off 45 times and kind of figure it out. Remember, they're trying to get Josh Jacobs right, too. Part of the strategy was, if this game wasn't, quote unquote, as meaningful, then you rest Love, you rest Jacobs. So, again, part of the handicap is going to be, if you believe that the Vikings can win tomorrow, then why wouldn't you want to hop on the Ravens right now at plus three? Sure. Where does that number go, Dave? Right? Does it go down to a pick potentially? Does it flip, even though it is Snoop Huntley?
I think it flips faves.
Again, just
yes.
Yeah, I think that kind of is the idea here. So if you're looking ahead and you're gonna try and anticipate what the result will be for the Vikings and the Lions tomorrow, that will certainly have a big time effect on who Matt LaFleur wants to run out there, if any of his big time starters, knowing they basically then have 2 weeks to get ready for the wild card round.
I would suspect, Jensen, if the Lions were to lose tomorrow to the Vikings and the Packers are in, that number, not only does it get to pick, I think the Ravens would flip to a 3-point favorite. I think you could get a 6-point line move if you saw that happen. The reason being is, forget about Josh Jacobs and forget about the quarterbacks, the Christian Watsons of the world. You're going to risk everybody that's dinged up at all if you are LaFleur and company here for the Packers, if that happened. So I think you'd be looking at a 6-point line move minimum here. I'd be stunned if the Ravens weren't favored by three, if that happened. If it doesn't happen, the Lions win, then you got to force those guys out there a little bit, maybe prematurely. JJ McCarthy, though, is not going to be able to go in that Lions game against the Vikings tomorrow. That means Max Brosmer is going to get the start here for the Vikings. It was interesting. They were excited in Viking land about seeing Max play. That was the Seattle game, if you remember that one. And he had the underhanded pick six that went back and really changed the complexion of that game at that point, because the Vikings had played pretty good defense up to that point, and then it really got out of hand. you know, sometimes you want to see these backups play, your third stringers. And that's what Brosmer was at the beginning of the year when they still had Carson Wentz. So Jensen's going to get another shot. The number has moved a point and a half in the other direction with the news of J.J. McCarthy being out. We'll break this game down in full detail later. But that is significant that it went over that key number of 7 all the way to 7.5 with that quarterback change.
I still think I like the Vikings side here, though. And that, to me, is probably the most important part of the handicap is, you know, looking at the quarterback situation is one thing. But it's also one, too, where do you like this Viking defense the way they're playing against the Lions offense that is searching, man? I mean, they are searching in a big way. And the run game all of a sudden has evaporated. I think you look at also where that Vikings win in Detroit earlier this year, they're going to take a lot from that. Yes, you have the narrative side here that the Lions, it's must win because if they lose, it's over. But man, as I told you before, I come back to the common refrain. If you weren't willing to lay almost 8 points for the Lions at home this past weekend, how are you getting anywhere close to rationalizing laying almost the same number on the road just 3 to 4 days later?
If you want to look at a breaking point for the Lions season and where it went wrong, it went bad after the bye week, coming off of it and losing at home to the Vikings. That was where it all started to seesaw here for the Lions and has not been the same since. So now you're going to lay 7.5 on the road. That would be interesting, but it is Max Brosmer on the other side. Sunday night football is going to be interesting. The Niners right now are 3-point favorites against the Bears, and the Bears are already in. We know that. They've clinched at least a wild card. Caleb Williams, very excited about what's happened in year number 2. Remember, this is the number 1 pick from just a year ago. Let's hear from Caleb on the heels of another big win against the Packers and potentially another big opportunity here against the Niners.
You know, I wasn't the biggest, I wasn't the strongest, I wasn't the tallest, fastest, whatever the case may be. You know, I get drafted here. You know, I'm told that I'm not a special player. I'm told that I'm not, you know, a good fit here. I'm told that, you know, coach and I won't work. I've told, you know, I can't win here. And so, you know, I know that's going to keep going on. But, you know, I do take a little satisfaction and things like that. And, you know, being able to help this team, help this organization, be a part of it, you know, to get to the playoffs. And, you know, my goal isn't to just get to the playoffs. My goal is to win and win big.
Well, I'm going to infer that he's referring to the old staff, the Matt Eberflus staff from a year ago and all the coordinators that are no longer in Chicago. He can't be talking about Ben Johnson, right? Everybody's saying this is your best opportunity to succeed with Ben Johnson. And so far that's happening.
Yeah, it is. It's a relationship, and you can even kind of tell if you've jumped on social media throughout the season and seen some of the inside the locker room speeches from Ben Johnson after wins, these guys embracing together. I think Caleb wanted to get coached a little bit harder, and it's a difference when you have an offensive-minded guy, right? You know it. You've seen Matt Eberflus and what he's done in Dallas. Different when you have an offensive mind that is tutoring and mentoring your star quarterback.
Don't know if Eberflus is going to be long for Dallas after 1 year as the coordinator there, too. So something to keep an eye on in the offseason. We're talking about Chris Oladokun. When we come back next year for the next segment, because is he going to be the quarterback next year? I doubt it in Kansas City. He will be this week. Do you want to bet him? We'll discuss next right here at VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue right here on VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Before the lines moves, the sharp plays is already there. They're not going to just follow the market. They're going to help shape it. You don't have to go up against those billion-dollar sports books or full-time sharps on your own, because sharp plays, guys, they got you covered. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, college hoops, you name it. The sharp plays are going to deliver that edge serious bettors rely on. Free daily reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been around the block here since 2011, backed up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line. Visit SharpPlays.com. Since a lot to get to here on this Christmas Eve Day edition of VSiN by the Books, and I believe with a little Christmas theme, that's where we're going to begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
If people don't know the name of Chris Oladokun, they're going to get used to it by watching the Chiefs and the Broncos coming up here on Christmas Day, because he will be the starting quarterback now. Obviously, Gardner Minshew, he's done. Patrick Mahomes has been done now. And now it's time for Oladokun to try to make a name for himself on this roster. Is that where you're going to begin the Christmas Day edition of Daily Gridiron?
The 30 for 30 is going to hit different. What if I told you that Christmas night is going to feature Chris Oladokun and some over props, our friends over at Opt the AI, with some very intriguing numbers here. None of these plays in pocket, because I think you and I look overall at just the slate tomorrow and say, hey, it's hard to handicap just with the unknown of the backup quarterbacks in various games. And then also in the first game, you know, how long will Dak Prescott play, if the entire game? Heck, you know, that also has a lot of effect on, you know, the skill position players. So I compiled a list for just tomorrow's slate, Dave. You mentioned Oladokun, his passing yard prop at 151.5 passing yards. Opta has him just a tick north of 200. So about a 50-yard differential there. Bo Nix, same game, under 227.5 pass yards. Listen, the Chiefs defense has still been really good. Divisional game, second time around. Usually the defenses are better off there with some added film, and they can kind of do a little bit different of what they did in the first contest. Opta has Bo Nix under 187 yards, so about a difference of 41 there to the under. Here's where it gets interesting, and I'll lean on you for your handicap of this first game, because I know you'll have your eyes squarely on it. Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel were really featured prominently in Opta AI. Opta likes McLaurin over 49.5 receiving yards, north of 70, so about a 21-yard differential. Also likes a big day from Deebo Samuel. Now, I say that in relative terms because his receiving yard prop is low at 40.5, but Opta has him almost at 53 and then almost at 7 catches. So over 4.5 receptions. That's at plus money, I believe, right now on DraftKings. I defer to you, my friend. Handicap this, because I don't know what to make of it, just knowing that the Washington quarterback situation is very murky in its own right.
Yeah, we mentioned Chris Oladokun going for the Chiefs and Max Brosmer going for the Vikings. Could be Josh Johnson going here for the Commanders, and that's the way it looks here. If you made me, though, again, and you would hope that, because Cowboy pass rush has not really been getting home at all in the last three games, if Josh Johnson has any salt and any worth still left in this league, I would hammer that Terry McLaurin over. Absolutely all day. With the issues the Cowboys have been having in the back four, Trayvon Diggs was back last week. He looked lost back there playing corner. You know that Scary Terry wants to have a signature game this year, and he really has not had one, right? So he was back last week, and he looks like he's closer to being 17 again in D.C. Again, it really is predicated on Josh Johnson being able to take those shots, but that feels like a really low number against this defense in a game that means nothing for the Commanders other than to beat their arch enemy. And they still are. Make no bones about it. In D.C., this is still the one game they want to win. So if they can win this one at home, and Terry McLaurin could be the best player on the field when those two teams, when the defense of the Cowboys is on the side and the Commanders' offense, he should be the best player on the field at that point. So get him the ball over 50 yards. I love it for Scary Terry. I think it's a great handicap. Even with Josh Johnson, I'd have to take my shot on the overplay there. There's just no way I can trust this Cowboy defense at this point. Santa likes to come down the tree, and you got to leave him something, Jensen. We used to do this in our household. You leave him cookies and milk, right?
As long as you believe that Santa is real, and many of us still do, I say that with all the kids listening, if you're up this early, milk and cookies go really well on Christmas Eve to get yourself ready. It's also the treats that potentially await some of these players with their incentives that could hit as early as tomorrow and through the weekend. So a lot of these guys we featured last week, Dave, we're going to revisit a handful of them again. Dawson Knox completely shut down, okay? And the Browns defense did a great job on him. He's right there. Needs a catch for 100K. Needs, what, 37 yards for 100K. Needs a touchdown for another 100K. And the escalators from there are fascinating. So he could have a $300,000 payday coming up on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. you better believe that Josh Allen is very aware of what's going on there. Rico Dowdle, we talked about him last week, that $1 million bonus for getting to 1,350 rush plus receiving yards. He needs 70 basically all-purpose yards there on Sunday to be able to get to that mark. The Chiefs tomorrow night, you know, if it's Chris Oladokun looking to hand it off, is it Pacheco? Is it Kareem Hunt? Well, Kareem Hunt is going to probably be campaigning because he is, what, 69 yards short, also of a rush and receiving yard total that gets him 125K. And then Keenan Allen, 73 catches so far this year. He needs another seven either this week and next week to get a $750,000 bonus. Some of these are going to be great in the prop markets. It's a great handicap, especially for some of these games that, quote unquote, don't really mean much.
I remember LT, Lawrence Taylor, in Any Given Sunday, right? His character, Shark, I believe, playing defense, and he needed to get like one more play. He had to play to get that bonus. Then he gets hurt.
Yes.
And then when the doc played by James Woods comes over to him, he says, "Don't touch me. I'm worth $1 million. A lot of these contract incentives, these players are playing for just that. And I'll say this about Santa Claus. I'm not going to, like, I don't know. Is he real? Is he not? I don't know if your kid listening. I would just say this. I was always perplexed that Santa's handwriting was almost identical to mom's. It was bizarre how that always worked out. If you have not gotten a gift at this juncture here for your significant loved ones, family members, what are you waiting for, Jensen? Time is running out.
It's one of the great stocking stuffers in our day and age now, Dave, where you see bachelor parties, you know, where guys will give their friends that come along. It's like future tickets, you know, for higher odds. Yes. These ones are great at the last minute because they could pay out as soon as the end of this weekend. So I mentioned not only looking for the Ravens and the Browns, I think that's a great way to handicap it because, Dave, with those two games happening on different days, imagine where this line goes for the Browns if we already know that the Steelers have it wrapped up. Not that Mike Tomlin's going to sit a bunch of guys for the entire game, but you would imagine that is a very conservative group there knowing they need to get right and get some guys healthy. I flipped the script here on the Cowboys and the Lions. Lions, the easy one, because obviously they have to win. So you get the margin of victory down a little bit more. I don't know about you, man, but I got a feeling the Cowboys can find a way. If it is Josh Johnson, you got to win that game. I mean, come on. This is right. Ryan Schottenheimer still trying to close this year, Dave, with a good feeling with Jarrah and that group. So that's a motivated little bit of a teaser there, and it gets you down to just a point to be able to win that. Bottom one is the fascinating one for me. Okay, Titans, 2.5-point dogs at home. Can the Saints keep the magic going? I mean, you got to believe Nashville's been hopping. That facility has been great. We got a win. We beat the Chiefs. You know, we feel good. I know it's not Patrick Mahomes, but Titans up to 8.5 against the Saints. I like that. And then the Rams on Monday night, -2. They still are in a position where they need to win to try and stay in contention for that NFC West division title, as well as the number one seed. So again, just a couple of last minute gift, 6-point week 17 teasers for you to consider here before we get going tomorrow afternoon.
Great minds think alike, because I already played a 6-point teaser. I got it before the numbers moved. Cowboys -0.5, Lions -0.5. So I've got some value
there, you go,
on those 6-point teasers. Played that 24 hours ago here before that number shot up there to 7.5 on the Lions. And yeah, I think those are great gifts. I think those are great ideas, especially like what you could do is say you've got like most of my family in the Virginia Beach area and most of my friends, they're, you know, Redskin fans or now Commander fans, whatever you want to call them this year. And so that would be a great trick. I could buy them those parlay tickets and they'd have to root for the Cowboys, right? They'd have to root against their team in order to get their ticket to cash. So I think it's a great way to play it on your boys there, Jensen. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I like that idea a lot. All right, when we come back, let's get to our survivor leans this week. If you are still kicking here with 2 weeks to play, you're playing for big time bucks no matter what league you might be in. And Jensen, if you remember this time last week, I gave out a dog for a survivor lean. That dog cashed last week. That was the Titans as an outright winner. I said, if you wanted to scoop the pot, could we play another dog potentially this week? We'll discuss next right here. VSiN by the books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the books right here on VSiN.
Xenia Beeson by the books on this Christmas Day, Christmas Eve Day edition of here on this Wednesday, beautiful here on the border of Tennessee and Kentucky. Might try to get out and hit some golf balls either today or Friday if it's going to be closed on Christmas Day. We understand everybody needs the day off too. Jensen, let's get to these survivor leans. If you're still kicking in some of these leagues out there, kudos to whoever you might be out there. If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, listening on SiriusXM Channel 158, that is quite the accomplishment, I do believe, to get this far. I've gotten there with my brother Steve long time ago. We were in this situation, in not in Circus Survivor, but just in a regular league, if you will, and we're able to navigate an undefeated regular season. I believe you've won the toss. You are going to elect to receive. Jensen, what do you have for your first lean today?
So I'll give you that in a moment. Let me, because I always think that this is amazing. First of all, greatest survivor competition going at Circus Sports. The 10 entries that are still alive will have to navigate tomorrow as a separate week. And Dave, just because I know a lot of people, wherever you are tuning us in, listening across the country, I know a lot of people look at those remaining entries as we get down to this point and really try and help handicap their own teams remaining and how they would navigate as well. I'm sure a lot of people in their various competitions don't have to worry about just the standalone week. Let me remind you of the 10 entries remaining in Circus Survivor, Dave. There's only, I think, five that have the Cowboys, and would not be surprised if that is a big one that we see when those entries are turned in. No one has Denver available. No one has Detroit available. Only one team has Kansas City, or one entry has Kansas City available. I don't think we anticipate, you know, that being an entry. Mm-mm. Every single entry has Minnesota available. And are you ready to put $1.87 million on the line for Max Brosmer and Cup? I'm just saying, like, I just had to get it out there because, you know, Jeff Benson and company do a great job of putting out what teams are left for these entries to be able to pick from. So, barring something completely unforeseen, buddy, I think we're going to, of the five entries that have the Cowboys remaining, you got to believe that they're going to probably go that way.
They're picking the Cowboys. Hey, I would think you have to go, if you're one of those 10, I think five go to the Cowboys, and then the other five. Oh, man, you're probably going Minnesota. And that's going to be funny, as 7.5-point dogs, right?
Yes, yes. And so here's the thing. Here's the rub. One entry has Kansas City and Minnesota left. They do not have Dallas, Denver, Detroit, or Washington. So you're pinning your hopes on Chris Oladokun or Max Brosmer. I mean, it is wild. We are going to see some fireworks tomorrow, man.
I would be begging for a chop if that was the situation. But you know the five people with the Cowboys are not going to be looking to chop right now. They feel like they've certainly got an advantage play there. You got an advantage play for a survivor lean. And again, I think I don't want to lead the witness, but great minds might think alike here.
Listen, very simply, we thought part of our handicap looking at the Dolphins and the Bengals last week, it was this a vacation, you know, kind of pack it in for the Bengals. Hey, it's been a tough year. Let's enjoy our time. Oh, they enjoyed their time and then some. Mm-hmm. This lends me to believe that Joe Burrow and company are playing through the finish line. They want to win games. So if you have the Bengals left, no better time to use them. The weather in Cincinnati is going to be actually really mild over the weekend comparative for this time of year, Dave. So we shouldn't have any issues on the track. And I believe with how beleaguered and injured and banged up that Cardinal defense is, buddy, again, you're down to real slim pickings here. But if you got the Bengals, set it and forget it.
I mentioned it right there with you. That's my number one play as well. I would look right to the Bengals side here for all the points you just gave. Emo Joe looked like he was back last week to being Joe Burrow. And look, I'm rooting for the guy. You know, this is a team I really thought would be a playoff team this year, obviously. And with all the injuries they had, specifically with Burrow, it got derailed early and often here. And I hope for good health for him because he sounds like, you know, he's looking for that motivation again. Maybe he found it last week in South Beach. We'll find out because he had a massive day yesterday. The league's better when Joe Burrow and the Bengals, I think, are good because he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. We're looking for elite quarterback play. And against a banged-up Cardinals team, if they're still in it to win it, and he plays all four quarters, Bengals going to win that game. I'm right there with you. What is your second lean here on Sunday?
Okay, again, so very similar to depending on who you have left. And I absolutely hate that you have to go here. Tampa Bay, Battle of Florida. Miami looked dreadful. They look dreadful. But again, you're down to it here, Dave. Like, thinking of who potentially people have left. I mean, you're not looking at, even if you do have the Eagles, you're not looking at them against the Bills. The Giants and the Raiders is the battle for the number one seed. You know, that handicap in itself, good luck. I mean, do you want Baltimore if you still have the Ravens with Snoop Huntley on the road? Yes, must win. That's great motivation. For all intents and purposes, it's a must win here for Tampa Bay. So if you got them, I mean, I didn't see enough from Quinn Ewers to really scare me. Did you? I don't think so. So no. Tampa Bay, if you got them left, you're just kind of at your wit's end now, pulling your hair out, watching this Buccaneer team the last month and a half. But you got to go with somebody. And if that's left there for you this week, then I would go with Tampa Bay.
You know, this game makes me a little bit nervous because if you still have the Lions left in your league, you've avoided some pitfalls along the way. I probably would have been knocked out again by picking the Lions somewhere before this week. But if you can't beat Max Brosmer with your season on the line, and it's very thin, they need the Packers to win out. But you know Dan Campbell. And Dan Campbell does not quit on a game. He doesn't quit on a series. That's just not in his DNA. So they're not going to quit. And that's why I'm going to take the Lions here tomorrow on, you know, a game they've got to win on the road against Minnesota, a team that's already beat them once. I think that's got a stick in his craw a little bit too. So Detroit, if you can't win this one to even have a remote glimpse of hope that the Packers could lose on Saturday to the Ravens, then you don't deserve it anyway. So I'm going to back the Lions here against their third string backup quarterback, Max Brosmer. You got to be able to get this one done. What's your third and final lean of the week?
Right where you were going last week. Titans at home against the Saints. War of attrition time. Who do you have left? Who do you trust? Cam Ward and company, you got to be able to continue this momentum. And hey, credit where it's due again. You, 4 weeks ago said, Tyler Shuck, if you've got some extra money left over, 250-1 is way too high to not at least have some skin in the game. What happens if Tyler Shuck wins this game, Dave? Oh. You're going to odds on favorite for Tyler Shuck to be offensive rookie of the year. The Titans, though, I think have of all the ingredients off a win at home. I know they're getting 2.5, but it would not shock me the Titans win this one outright.
If I told you that we're going to be going to week 17 and the winner of the Tyler Shuck and Cam Ward game, that the road team would be the guy that could be the odds on favorite for rookie of the year and not the number one pick in the draft, I would think you would said, oh, you're crazy on that one. By the way, Tennessee is playing much better. It's why I loved him last week. I love your pick this week on that one as well. Just like I did last week, this is a home dog scenario for the Titans. So if you're looking to scoop the pot, I'm with you on that Titans play like we gave out last week. I'm going to go back to the well on the Cowboys. You mentioned it with Brian Schottenheimer. I do believe he's still playing for something, and he's playing for culture right now to set one in Dallas. Dan Campbell did that years ago when they were bad that first year. And he like, guys, we don't quit. And the Cowboys are bad right now. No other way around it. 3-game losing skid here. Brian Schottenheimer is going to play the long game here and say, this is still our rival. We know what it means to a lot of people and what it should mean to you. And I know what it means to our quarterback. And that's why he's playing this game. So if Dak Prescott's out there, then I need my offensive line to block for him. George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, I need you guys to be who you are, superstars, potentially a wide receiver. I need you guys to ball out because I'm putting our quarterback out there. And I'm not putting him out there in harm's way if you guys are going to quit. And if you do quit, you might not be around here next year. George Pickens looking right at you. So I think there's a lot of things at stake here for a Cowboys team that has nothing to play for, Jensen. Right there with you. I like the Cowboys because of Shoddy trying to get the motivation out of his boys. Lou Finicaro is going to be on the program on Friday, as he always is. And Lou wanted to give this out early. And again, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you're going to have access to this play as well. But we'll give it right now here on VSiN by the books. His 3-leg, 10-point tees, you can get at most places about -$1.20. That's why Lou has been investing in these 10-point teaser legs. He's going to play tomorrow, the Broncos and Chiefs, and he's going to tease the total up to 46.5 and play the under. So he's taking the 10 points and moving it up, not expecting a lot of points. Give him some buffer there. He just doesn't think that 47 points or more will be scored. He's going to play the under 46.5. Chargers, you know, we're going to talk a lot about this game. We talked a little bit about it earlier in the week against Houston. That's a very pivotal game this week. He's going to tease this now through zero, which some people think is taboo. But he's going all the way to 7.5 on the way of the Chargers, and I'm with them. If Houston wins, Jensen, are they going to beat them by 2 scores? I don't think so. I think the Chargers win the game outright. I like where lose play is there. And then going to tease the total up on the Patriots and Jets up to 52.5 and play the under again. So under Broncos Chiefs, under Patriots Jets, and the Chargers plus the point. That's the 10.3 leg tease. Lots more NFL to get to. It's all coming up next right here. VSiN by the books.